before I share with you from God's Word, a couple of announcements. And one, I just got to brag on our congregation. This is awesome. This is not even as many boxes as we're going to send, because I'm anticipating that there's going to be a bunch more come in at the second service. And there's always a few people who are late and dash to the ministry center on Monday with a box. So this is just awesome. And I want to thank God, and I want to pray that thank you, Paul. Is that okay? This is just awesome, and I want to pray that God will use these gifts to draw children closer to Himself. Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us this opportunity to share out of our abundance with some children in poor parts of the world who don't have very much. And Lord, we pray that these gifts will be a blessing to these children. And through these gifts, they will know your love. We pray, O Lord, that they will know that it was your love that motivated this. And we thank you for the work of Samaritan's Purse and the work of distributing these boxes all over the world. And we pray, O Lord, that that gospel message that is included in each box will touch hearts, touch the hearts of children. And we know, Lord, that you said, Lord Jesus, you said, let the little children come to me and do not prevent them. And so, Lord, we pray that many children will come to you through the ministry of these boxes. And we pray it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. You've noticed, I hope you've noticed that in recent weeks, instead of singing the doxology after the offering, we've been singing, "We Are an Offering." That's the theme of our stewardship campaign this year. We are an offering. Our offering is not just the money that we put in that basket on Sunday mornings or that we mail to the church office. The offering that the Lord seeks is our heart, our hearts, our lives. And if you are on the church mailing list, you may have received a letter yesterday. If you didn't receive it yesterday, you'll receive it early this coming week. And there's a letter from me, and there's also a pledge card that I encourage you to consider making a pledge. It helps us with planning our budget for the coming year. And there is a verse in the New Testament where Paul talks about the generosity of the church in Macedonia, and they gave to the support of the church in Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem was very poor. And Paul said they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us. That's the secret of joyful giving. Remember, God loves a cheerful giver. By the way, the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. The church, we will accept money from any old grump. But the secret to cheerful giving is to give yourself first to the Lord. So I encourage you to consider that and bring it bring that pledge card next week, put it in an envelope for privacy, and then at the close of worship, bring it up and put it on the Lord's table as an act of commitment. And please come whether you're making a pledge or not. Just if you want to just take that blank card and put it in an envelope and bring it up here as an act of commitment, giving yourself to the Lord. Anyway, that'll be next Sunday. Please turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 22. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. And just to set it up, this is about King David, but he's not king yet. Remember that when David was a young man, he was designated by Samuel and anointed by Samuel and anointed with the Holy Spirit as well to become king of Israel. But he had to wait. He had to wait a long time to become king. And while he was waiting, there was a good piece of that time he was on the run from King Saul. King Saul didn't want to step aside. He was threatened by young David, tried to kill him multiple times. And David had to flee. And on one of his escapes, David found himself living in a cave at a place called Adullam. And God brought some others there, and that's what we're going to talk about today. 1 Samuel 22, verses 1 through 5. Hear now the word of God. David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was bitter in soul gathered to him. And he became commander over them. And there were with him about 400 men. And David went from there to Mizpah of Moab, and said to the king of Moab, "Please let my father and my mother stay with you till I know what God will do for me." And he left them with the king of Moab, and they stayed with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. Then the prophet Gad said to David, "Do not remain in the stronghold. Depart and go to the land of Judah." So David departed and went into the forest of Hereth. This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me for prayer? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, David had been called to become king of Israel, but between the call and the coronation, there was a long wait. And a lot of our lives are made up of waiting, isn't it? And I don't mean just waiting in lines. Of all the things that God calls us to do, sometimes there's nothing more painful than having to wait. There's the waiting of a childless couple to have a child. There's the waiting of a single person for marriage or whatever comes next. There's the waiting of the chronically ill for healing or perhaps death. There's the waiting of the emotionally wounded for peace and wholeness. There's the waiting of the lonely to find a place to belong. when we wait, you know, we ask how long, and for believers, the question is, how long, O Lord? And you may remember that in the book of Revelation, the martyred saints who are before the throne of God, it's a marvelous vision of the glory of heaven. But even in heaven, in this vision from the book of Revelation, there is pain involved with waiting, because the martyred saints who are before the throne are watching on earth the suffering of the persecuted saints on earth. And before the throne of God, they ask, how long, O Lord? How long does this go on? In Psalm 62, David asked of his enemies, how long will you set upon a man to shatter him? And the implication is that he's asking God as well, God, how long do I have to put up with this? But for Christians who trust in the leading of Jesus. And sometimes when we're waiting, that's hard to do. But Christians who trust in the faithfulness of Jesus, our good shepherd, can know that waiting is not wasted time. Waiting is time when he is at work shaping us for what he has called us to be and do. Remember, David had already been anointed king, but once again, Israel already had a king, King Saul. He was in no mind to step aside. Saul was in a tragic descent into paranoia and madness. He had decided to kill David, and David was on the run, but this time was not wasted. God was shaping David for the day that he would become king. The key to waiting is waiting in faith, waiting in trust. And while we're waiting, we make some of the most important decisions of our lives that are going to shape who we are. And by the way, I want to add here, no matter your age, you may think your usefulness to God is behind you. No matter your age, God's call is on your life, and God is preparing you to serve him in what comes next. Now, you don't know, I don't know, but God does. And so no matter our age, we don't retire from the service of Jesus. God's at work. Now, our focus today is going to be on the choices that David made about who he hung out with while he was waiting, because the story of David shows us that God's work in waiting and the community that we are a part of go together. God uses the community that we are a part of to shape us as we wait. And the first question about community is, will we receive the community that God has given us? Because God always calls people into community. God will call every believer into community. There is such a thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. That's not being faithful. There are believers who are isolated. That's not God's intention. God calls every believer into a community. And the question is, will we receive the community that God gives us? couple of weeks ago, I talked about friendship, and I said, God will bring people into your life. And I really believe that about friendship. We don't make friends, we receive them. God will bring people into your life. Will you receive them? And same thing with community. Will we receive the community that God has given us? Now, David was on the run from Saul, and he wound up living in a cave, the cave of Adullam. And first of all, his family came, his brothers, who he didn't get along with. You may remember that from the story of David and Goliath. David didn't get along with his big brothers. They were the first to show up at the cave. And then a motley crew that's described in verse 2. It says, everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was bitter in soul gathered to him. What a happy crew. I think it's safe to say this is not the community that David would have chosen for himself. God never gives us the community that we would choose. Just to review, David's brothers, who he didn't get along with, came first. And then those in distress, those in debt, and those bitter in soul. That third category is, in another translation, is called the discontented. In just a few weeks, we're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving, right? And one of the things that we remember on Thanksgiving is the pilgrim immigrants who came to this country seeking religious freedom. As we look forward to Thanksgiving and thinking about those in distress, those in debt, those bitter in soul, the discontented, that's pretty much the story of America, isn't it? Beginning with the pilgrims, America became great by welcoming the distressed and the indebted and the discontented. And that's also a good description of the church. We dress up pretty good on Sunday morning, but you could gather a random group of people walking around this park right now and replace all of us with that random group of people, and they would be no more, no less dysfunctional than all of us. No more, no less broken than all of us. Remember what Paul, Carol read it a minute ago, what Paul said about the church in Corinth. Now, how would you like your preacher to stand up in front of the church and say this? Consider your calling, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise, according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish. That's you and me. God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. God has his own way of putting a community together. David looked at that motley band of those in distress, those in distress, those in debt, and those bitter in soul. And instead of focusing on their flaws, David and I think this was inspired by the Holy Spirit. David saw their potential. He believed in them. Let me underline that. David believed in this motley crew. Friends, Christianity is not just about believing in God. That comes first. It's not just about believing in Jesus. That comes first. Christianity is also about believing in each other. Believing in the call of God that God has placed on each of our lives. And because God has called us, and because God has loved us, we are to believe in one another and love one another. David believed in his band of misfits. And the people you will find in this church, in every church, are, how should I say it? We are very biblical. We are the distressed and the indebted and the discontented. Every one of us is needy. Every one of us is broken. Every one. So, community is a gift we must be willing to receive. And if we receive that gift of community, it makes all the difference in our waiting. Because we have brothers and sisters to encourage us and support us as we wait. God, by the way, I really believe that none of us is here by accident. God brought this motley crew together in this well-lit cave. We have a really nice cave. The view is spectacular. Don't turn around. Just trust me. And if we can see each other as a gift from God, God can use even a band of misfits like us for his purpose. And when you begin to believe that about the community where God has placed you, maybe you can begin to believe it about yourself too. Let me ask you a question. Where do you find Jesus? Where would you look for Jesus? You will always find Jesus among those who know they need him. Jesus, when he was in the flesh in this world, Jesus hung out with the prostitutes and the crooks and the lepers, the diseased people that nobody else wanted to be near. Now, the good religious folk, who of course had no problems that they would admit to, the good religious folk asked him, "Why are you eating and drinking?" Jesus was actually not only hanging out with them, he was eating and drinking with them. Which, in Jewish culture, would make him unclean. And the religious blue noses said, "Why are you hanging out with those people? Why are you eating and drinking with them?" And you remember what Jesus said. He said, "Those who are well, those who are healthy," and the implication is those who think they are, "those who are well have no need of a physician. It's those who are sick that need a physician. And that's why I'm with them." It is only in a community where pride is put aside and people know their need, that's where you find Jesus, among people who know they need him. And that's where you'll find Jesus healing and restoring and shaping lives for his purpose. That's why it is so important to receive the community God gives you. If you want to be choosy, you're going to miss out. And by the way, in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, skipping ahead in the story of David, 1 Chronicles chapter 12, we're told that David's band of 400 malcontents and losers would one day become his finest fighting force. They became the SEAL Team 9 of David's army. None of us is what we appear to be. You are in truth what God has called you to be. And God sees in you potential beyond your imagination. No one is called to wait alone. We're called together for the fulfillment, to wait on the fulfillment of God's promises in our lives. You need another. You are broken and needy. I am broken and needy. And we all need other people who are broken and needy for the healing of Jesus to come. Here's the promise that we're waiting on. Paul says it in the beginning of the book of Philippians. Here's the promise that we're waiting on. God's word says, the one who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Oh God, teach us to wait. You are faithful. You always keep your promises in your time. And as we wait, help us, give us grace to receive the gift of community, to truly love one another as you have called us to love, to encourage one another as you have called us to encourage, to build up one another as you have called us. Most of all, to love one another because you have loved us. And we pray it in the strong name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.